Come on, bless him, bless him, bless him, bless him. Amen. God is great. God is great. Amen. Y'all looking at me like I'm going to sing some. If you didn't get it then, you ain't going to get it now. Because the anointing of the Lord is here. Amen. Thank you, band. Amen. Let's say amen for our band. Amen. How many know he's coming back again? How many living a lifestyle that you know that God is coming back again? For a people without a spot or a wrinkle. Amen. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for your son who chose to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, we appreciate you. We love you. And God, I ask in Jesus' name that you would saturate my body with your anointing and your word. Bless me to speak as you have me to speak, what you've given me to share with the people of God this morning. God, bless us to have an open heart, an open mind, and a teachable spirit. Bless us to receive the word of the Lord. These things we ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, I'm not going to front for you, but where I come from, we kept that going. And before you know it, the church mama would get up and start running around the aisle, and others would get slain in the spirit, and hands would get laid on, and we're going to do something that a little bit later. Amen. But God is great. Thank you for my sister, my nephew, and all those who came down from Chi-Town to be with me. Amen. Lord Jesus. Hartland David Sanders was born on a farm in Henryville, Indiana, on September 9th, 1890. His parents, Wilbur Sanders, a butcher, and Margaret Ann Dunleavy, a homemaker, also had two younger children. Sanders' father died when he was five, so his mother took a job peeling tomatoes in a canning factory and earning extra money by sewing at night. Sanders had to take care of his siblings, learning how to cook and to feed them. He held his first job at the age of 10, working on a nearby farm. Because the family was so poor, Sanders left school after sixth grade just so he could work a full-time job. Sanders worked as a farmhand for $15 a month, plus room and board, until he was 15 years old. He was then able to get a job as a streetcar conductor in New Albany, Indiana, and in 1906, while still underage, he joined the United States Army and served in Cuba. During the next few years, Sanders launched business after business and watched each one of them fail for one reason or another. In 1937, Sanders tried to start a restaurant chain in Kentucky, but his attempt failed. 2 years later, he opened another motel and restaurant in Asheville, North Carolina. But guess what? This too failed. Sanders continued to alter his chicken recipe to get the seasonings just right. In 1939, he devised a method to cook his chicken in 9 minutes. During World War II, travel died, so guess what happened to his business? It failed. He reopened a business at the end of the war, and by 1953, his cafe was worth $165,000. In the early 1950s, Sanders signed up a few restaurant owners in the early form of what's called a franchise. He would ship them his seasonings made from a secret recipe of 11 herbs and spices. Y'all know who I'm talking about yet? All right. You hungry? Okay. And if they agreed to pay him 5 cents for every chicken they cooked with it. In 1956, The federal government made plans to build a new highway, and the value of Sanders' site plummeted. He auctioned a property off for $75,000 to pay his debt. At the age of 66, he was almost broke, living on Social Security, getting $105 a month. So then he moved to Shelbyville, Kentucky. By 1960, Sanders had 400 franchises, and his image was being used to sell chicken throughout the country, better known with that little black bow tie and a white shirt. In 1996, the number of franchises had grown to over 5,000 units in the U.S. and 4,500 units overseas. In 1964, Sanders sold his investment, which was his business, for $2 million. Mind you, he only had $105 a month. Family and friends persuaded him at the age of 74 to sell his country for the $2 million, and he later got a check for $75,000 a year. We know him as Kentucky Fried Chicken. Why did I bring that out? Because for the last 5 or 6 weeks, we've been talking about legacy, what I live, what I give, and what I leave. And on Friday, Colonel Sanders blessed me with some chicken. With one of those franchises, right? Lindsey Green wrote a book called The Well-Lived Life. In this book, Green said, whether you like it or not, we live our legacy. I would like to encourage you today that if Colonel Sanders can sell chicken at the age of 66 and get rich, you're not too old or too young to live your legacy today. Truth be told, if people knew what we went through this year, people will celebrate God with us, because I don't know about you, but I don't look like what I've been through this year. Amen? I tend to believe that there's a guy in the Bible who had a thorn in his side. What's his name? I think he lent me that thorn because I had shoulder surgery in 2019. I had knee replacement in 2019, and I'll be having knee replacement in 4 more months. And I'm here to tell you that if you look at me today, a guy who was once homeless twice, a guy who was unemployed for 4 years, I don't look like what I've been through. Do I have a witness in the house? Anyone else at a place in your life where you don't look like what you've been through? And so in my studies, God led me to write down 3 different definitions that are synonyms to the word legacy. One is called inheritance. Something as a quality, a characteristic, or other immaterial possession received from predecessors as if by succession. A family inheritance. Now, on my dad's side of the family, the Kimballs, my dad taught us you don't have to do anything. Nothing. So as kids, we didn't have Facebook or cell phones. We didn't have Call of Duty. We had a 1-joystick Atari. Come on, date yourself. We had that 1-joystick Atari. And on Saturday morning when the cartoons came on and we ate our Frosted Flakes or Fruit of the Looms, right? Later on, we wanted to go outside. And so we would hurry up, me and my sister and my little brother, and we would go in the house, and it's a table, and we'd go, we done. Can we go outside? But on the Kimball side of the family, Dad would come back and say, No, y'all can't go outside today. So we learned to clean up that whole table if we wanted to go outside that day. On my mom's side of the family, no disrespect intended, they were all hustlers. I sell hats, I sell t-shirts, I work a full-time job, I sell hoodies, I am a concealed carry instructor, I am a bodyguard, a security. So part of my inheritance is, as a hustler, I better do it right or don't do it at all. Well, as a kingdom of a child of God, guess what? I better do it right or sit down and don't attempt to do it at all. Because my God who sits high and looks low, he's watching everything that I do. And if I do it like this and say, God, I need, guess what he's going to say? No, you need to go back and finish that up. But when I get down on my knees because I'm going through some things, and I began to pray to God and say, God, I need you like never before. He sit there and he say, I know, my son, I just had to lay that on you just so you can give me the glory in all that you do. People don't believe I've been homeless nearly twice. And I learned in those times to pray to God and watch him answer. Anybody know that? That if you pray and ask anything in Jesus' name, God will do it for you. Another definition that's a synonym to legacy is heirloom, which is a family possession handed down from generation to generation. Now, some of you have a recipe that was handed down to you from your grandma, your great-grandma, and so on and so forth. Others of you might have a firearm or a stopwatch, a pocket watch, or a watch that was handed down to you through the family. But one of the things I noticed is that on some wedding days, the ring that's put on the young lady's finger means so much more to her when it came from her great granny. Because there's value in that ring, not monetarily, but heritage. There's a legacy that was built in that ring. Lastly, birthright. Uh-oh. Any right or privilege to which a person is entitled to from birth. Do you all not know that we were not entitled to the tree of life? Do you not know that we were not entitled to the remission of sins? When sin entered this world, we were condemned to death and death to the cross. But God loved us so much, people. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son to come down in the likeness of sinful man, to live and walk on this earth. And the Bible says that he was perfect before God in all that he did. But guess what? He suffered like us. He went through like us. He even asked his dad to take this cup away from me. But because of his birthright, he had to go through so that we can enjoy the repentance of sin and life eternal. Amen? Amen. I don't know if the prompter is working yet, but in Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. It says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. So here it is, a man that was beggar decided to ask Peter and John for a handout, an offering, if you will. and he was expecting a monetary gift. I remember when my daughter Destiny was a baby, and we would call ourselves giving her money to say, I have money. So we would give her a dollar in one hand, and guess what she would do? Destiny always wanted everything in twos. So here it is, this guy was expecting one thing, but God had a plan for something else. In this particular passage of scripture, I'm so happy that the beggar didn't despise the gift that was given to him. And that's my point number one, don't despise the gift. What if Colonel Sanders' family would have ridiculed him because he had 11 herbs, seasoning, and spices, and they didn't want the gift? I would have said, I'll take it, thank you. One, I like chicken, but two, I saw where it was going. Imagine the gift that God has given us today, how many people are rejecting his only begotten son. He gave us a free gift. Didn't cost us anything but, Lord, save me, forgive me. I acknowledge that Jesus is your son. And so many people despise that gift today. Brothers and sisters, in our legacy, don't let that be said of us today. For you see, the beggar was looking for a natural, temporal, monetary handout. But instead, he was given a spiritual, miraculous healing. Something that will last longer than a few dollars. There's an old saying that says, give a man a fish and you'll feed him a day. Teach a man how to fish and you'll feed him for life. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 8. In this passage of scripture, a very well-known passage of scripture, Brother Elijah was going around and he had some challenges. The Bible says that when Elisha saw Elijah, that Elisha wanted to be so much like him that when he got done with his chores, he said, let me tell my family I'll see you later and I want to accompany you. Now, by birthright, Elisha didn't have anything that belonged to him from Elijah. However, in this day and time, I'm glad that the Bible tells me that I am an heir to God through Jesus. And so through the blood of Jesus, God looking through his son at me, making me an heir, that makes me eligible to receive the birthright of things that don't belong to me. So in this story, it goes on to say that Elisha wanted something from Elijah. And Elijah said, listen, if you with me, when God takes me away, whatever you're asking for is yours. So what do you want? And Elisha said, man, that's simple. I just want a double portion of what you got. I done seen what you did. I done heard about you. I just want a double portion of that. Elijah said, you know what? That's a hard thing, brother, but let's see what we can do. So the Bible goes on to say in verse 13 that after Elijah was taken up away, his cloak fell down. The Bible says that Elisha took up Elijah's cloak, went, stood by the bank of Jordan, and he said, bow! Now where's the God of Elijah? Guess what happened to the bank? The waters parted, and he was able to walk back to the other side on dry ground. Why am I saying that? Because the value of the legacy that we leave shall meet and exceed tomorrow's challenge. The value of what we leave as a legacy should meet and exceed tomorrow's challenge. So even though Elisha got the double portion, He wasn't aware of the price that was paid by Elijah. The Bible says that Elijah had to confront Ahab on a few instances. Ahab wanted a farm that was owned by another man. And listening to his wife, Ahab got sad that the man wouldn't sell him the farm. So when Ahab left, his wife went out, gave a false decree, and had the man killed. And Ahab said, well, thanks, honey. Now I got a new farm. That don't sound right, but that's what he did. Then the Bible says that Jezebel began to threaten Elijah. So much so that they had a showdown at 3 o'clock on top of the mountaintop. And what happened on top of the mountain was 400 prophets of Baal said, we're going to show this man up. We're going to call on our God, and our God going to come through, and guess what's going to happen? Our God is going to overtake Elijah and his God. Well, after a few hours of crying to their God, Elijah said, hey, is he alive? Maybe you need to wake him up, because y'all God ain't doing nothing. So they began to cut themselves so much that they start to bleed. And guess what their God did? Nothing. Guess what he said? Nothing. So Elijah said, hold on. He said, I'll tell you what. Dig a trench around the altar. He said, take my sacrifice, put it on top, and then pour water on it. Not once, not twice, but three times. So they poured all the water. And then Elijah said, now, people, come watch this. Now, that's a bad man to stand up in front of 400 prophets, and now you're about to show them off, and you calling the crowd to see. So the crowd came, and Elijah said, hey, O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he said, if you hear me now, accept this offering from me and show the people that you are the real and true and living God. And guess what happened? The Bible says that our God showed up. And not only did he take the sacrifice, he burned all the water and licked it up. So guess what the 400 prophets tried to do? They tried to run. But no, God said not so. The point of the story is, the double portion of blessing that Elisha got was paid on the back of sacrifices from Elijah. So what I'm saying to you is the legacy that you will receive, young people, is paid with blood and pain and suffering from those who went before you. The only thing you have to do is be in a position to receive it. Elisha had to be in a position to receive the double portion through the mantle of God, but if he wasn't in the right place at the right time, he wouldn't have got the legacy that God had for him. So in order for us to receive the legacy through the birthright of being an heir to God, we need to be in a place so that when God speaks, we hear. That when God says go, we move. That when God says to touch the sick and they shall walk, that's what we should do. If God said to give to the homeless, guess what you should do? Give to the homeless. Our church feeds hundreds of people every single month. Something that small goes so far. If God tells you to do something in order for you to get the legacy through the birthright that he sees us through Jesus, we have to first be obedient. Obedience will take you where talent can't. Obedience will take you where talent can't. Oh, come on, somebody. You know it's the truth. I am a great great cook. But if I didn't sit in the kitchen and obey my mom and my dad who showed me how to cook, my ribs wouldn't fall off the bones. And if you haven't had them, Dawn, tell them they need to get some. If my parents didn't raise me up in Sunday school and teach me the word of God, teach me how to pray when things got tough, teach me how to fast when things got unsure, if I wasn't raised that way, I wouldn't be able to demonstrate that to my family and leave a legacy to them through Jesus Christ, because he gives me the power and the ability to obtain wealth. In my conclusion, Marlon, in my conclusion, there is therefore now no condemnation, Romans chapter 8. No guilty verdict, no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him as your personal Lord and Savior. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has set you free from the law of sin, death, and the grave. For what the law could not do, that is, overcome sin and remove its penalty, its power, being weakened by the flesh, man's natural ability without the Holy Spirit, God did this for us. Matter of fact, he sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. The Bible says, so that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, it's not too late to create a legacy for you and your family. You might be 20, you might be 30, you might be 70. It's not too late. All you have to do is trust God. Come to him and surrender to his will. Your failure is God's opportunity for success. Amen? Your failure is God's opportunity for success. There might be in this place today someone who says, but Brother Kimball, I failed. I've tried and I failed. I've tried and I failed. I don't know if I can try again. I'm here to encourage you that through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, with him being your Lord and your Savior, that you can try one more again. You can try one more time. You can give it another chance. As we stand to our feet, when I was studying this message, God spoke to me and said that there will be people in this room who feel like failure is their destiny. And as the elders come forward, God wants those individuals to get prayer this morning so that you will understand that your failure is God's opportunity for success. If you trust and believe that God has the power and the ability to do any and everything, if you can just trust and believe that God gave his only son to die for us, and that now we are joint heirs with him, the word impossible don't even reign in his vocabulary. So I'm going to pray a general prayer that you would receive God's definition of success. And for those who need individual prayer, these capable elders and ministers will pray with you and pray for you, because your legacy still has time to live. Amen? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word that you have shared to your people. Lord, we thank you because even when it looks dim in our eyes, it's only because you're blocking things from us, because you can do all that we can imagine or even think. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that those who feel failure is their destiny, that you will speak to their hearts, speak to their mind. God, that you would deliver them this morning from those thoughts and let them understand that legacy lives on in them because Jesus lives in them. Father, bless us as we leave this place, but never your presence. Guide us and take us to and fro and keep us until we shall meet again. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.